song has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, this is Larry the Cable Guy, and you listen to my buddies Doug and Daddy on the ESPN Superstation.
Well, hi, Larry. Larry the Cable Guy in Kearney, First Tier Event Center tonight. I'll be there. I don't know where Daddy is today. Daddy not in studio, and I directly believe that it has something to do with Larry the Cable Guy being in town. You know, maybe he got kind of a stunt double, but Larry the Cable Guy, maybe, you know, Tony's out there testing some things out. Even Tony's a little bit bigger than Larry. Larry could have stopped by and co-hosted the show today, but, you know, he's out there working on his routine. So we hope you enjoy the concert tonight, and we have got a great Doug and Daddy show planned for you today. Coming up in just a moment, we're going to talk with the head baseball coach at the University of Missouri, Tim Jamison. They roll into Lincoln for a weekend series. We're also going to give you a chance to win club-level seats, reserved family four-pack to any game this weekend, courtesy of Broadfoot Sand and Gravel. A four-pack of Nebraska-Missouri tickets, we'll be giving those away. We're going to talk with Chris Kutulak of the TVG Network to preview the Kentucky Derby. Also, from FantasyPlayersEdge.com, every Thursday we catch up with Joe DeMeo down at FantasyPlayersEdge.com, and he'll let you know how things are going in the world of Major League Baseball. And we'll also be talking with Hastings College football coach Paul Merkowitz as spring practice has finished up. But as we said, Nebraska baseball got a win yesterday, finished up a quick little two-game sweep of New Mexico. So they get this eight-game homestand off to a good start. Pretty good pitching against a team that was number one in batting average in Division I coming into the week, and was 31-12, now 31-14. So for a struggling Nebraska program, two big wins. And a team that might have struggled a little bit out of the gate but looks to have the ship righted right now are the Missouri Tigers. They have won 8 of their last 10. They beat Eastern Illinois earlier this week by a score of 7-4, and now they get ready to take their final road trip of the regular season when they come up to Lincoln this weekend, and we are pleased to be joined by the head coach of the Missouri Tigers in its 15th season. Tim Jamison joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show, and Coach, once again, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Well, I guess your thoughts first off on if you think the ship has been righted there with 8 of your last 10 games going in the win column.
Well, we're playing better baseball than we were earlier in the year. Our schedule's been very difficult. I think our strength of schedule's in the top 10, and we've played a very challenging schedule. A lot of that's been in the Big 12. A lot of it's been non-conference. And so when you get off, we got off to a slow start, and it affected how we played and affected confidence. And recently, over the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've been playing with a lot more confidence. We've been playing more relaxed, and then we're playing better. So then by playing better, we're winning more baseball games.
Tim, I guess like some of the other major men's athletics there at the University of Missouri in basketball and football, the baseball team has now kind of been put into a spotlight where more things are expected because of the great few seasons that you've had here. Have those expectations sometimes kind of overshadowed what you guys think can be done year in and year out?
Well, I think individually the players put a little more pressure on themselves than they have to if they get off to slow starts, which we did. And we had several players. Matter of fact, I don't know if we had anybody positionally that was playing up to their capability early in the year. And when you do that, not only are you looking at your individual struggles and what they expected to contribute as a person, and but then you look at the way the team started. So there were a lot of issues, whether it was related to expectations. I don't know if that's really worried. They're worried about what outside what people are thinking or what people are saying. I think they're more concerned that, hey, we know we're better than this. And sometimes the means to get that done is by trying too hard. And I think that's what we experienced early in the year.
Tim Jamison joins us, the head coach of the Missouri Tigers here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, obviously you lost a lot of great talent off last year's ball club. Have the kids just, is this kind of a growing process, I guess, with so many new kids coming in and now starting to find their way?
Well, actually, it's almost in some ways reverse. We returned a lot of guys from last year's team. Now, we lost some marquee names with Darren Crow and Jacob Pride and Rick Sigoni, but we returned just about everybody else. So I think that's why when you get off to a slow start, it was such a surprise to us, because we returned 7-8 of our guys in the lineup. So that's where the most of the issues have been the scoring runs and mental mistakes that we've made either on the base paths or defensively. So it was surprising. Now I think they've gone through the cycle and they're a lot more confident and relaxed and trusting in each other. You know, if I don't get it done, a guy behind me will. And we've been playing better baseball because of that.
Tim, as we follow the ball club and kind of scout each week, you've got some kids that are starting to hit the ball, as you said. As fans head to Lincoln this weekend, who's a couple of kids that have been red hot for you that fans should keep an eye out for?
Well, the guy who's been the hottest has been Greg Folger. He was the Big 12 Player of the Week last week and put up numbers where he could have been again this week. And he's a switch hitter that hits in the middle of our lineup and a guy who's our best RBI guy. But Aaron Senny's kind of the marquee name that returned last year. He's a guy that hit 13 home runs last year and just hit his first home run this past week and hit his second home run on Tuesday night. So he's starting to figure it out a little bit. And then, Ryan Lawless is a guy who's been in our lineup, this being his fourth year. Those guys have been the key contributors, and the guys that if they're going good, then we'll go good.
Tim Jamison, the head coach of the Missouri baseball program, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Touch a little bit more on Greg, because he's the kid in the lineup. He's got a little pop in his bat along with Trevor Coleman, and he seems to be leading you in most categories right now.
Yeah, he is, and he's like I said, he's a switch hitter and really isn't affected by which side of the plate that he swings from. And he's a guy who's just been incredible lately with the number of two-out hits that he's had and the number of two-out RBIs that he's driven in. And he's a guy who's a legitimate three- or four-hole hitter and one of the better hitters in the league, at least as it relates to how he's swinging it right now. But he's a guy also who's kind of a unique individual. He could realistically play all nine positions and has played all but catcher for us at some point in his career. And he's also pretty good arm on the mound, although he has not pitched great this year, but he's a guy that's going to get it up there in the low 90s.
Coach, is that little pressure taken off you? You guys were kind of in that 7-8 spot in the conference race, just trying to get into the tournament, but now you've won five of your last six conference games. Can you tell maybe the team is breathing a little easier, even though they still got a couple of big series ahead of them?
Yeah, but you can't breathe too easy, because each weekend in the league is a war, and you've got to be prepared for that, particularly when you go on the road and you go to a place like Lincoln, Nebraska. But we're in exact same position we were last year at this time. We were 11-10 with two weekends to play, and we had Kansas and Nebraska left to play, and we finished 5-1. We're hopeful that we can duplicate that. I don't know if that's realistic or not, but we still feel like we can win the league the way the league is this year. In terms of the team with the wins that's going to win the league, we only have 16 or 17 wins.
You look at a Nebraska team that's still at the bottom of the Big 12, and even if they run the table, who knows? But do you consider this a dangerous ball club? They have to put everything on the line and have to probably come out with three wins to keep their season alive this weekend.
Well, I don't look at the records. Historically, we have played Nebraska at Nebraska. They've been great games, and they've been games where both programs get after each other. And that's what I expect. I expect it to come down to perhaps the last inning or two innings of each game, and each game will be tightly contested.
Tim Jamison, baseball coach at Missouri, joins us here for another minute on the Doug and Daddy Show. They come into Lincoln this weekend for a three-game series. Begins Friday night at 6:05. Let's take a look at your pitching a little bit, Tim. Kyle Gibson, although not the team leader in ERA, does lead your team in wins. He's 7-3 and pretty solid production from him.
Yeah, well, Kyle will be
coming
off. Kyle will be a first-round draft pick, and he's a guy that's been beating every good team in our league. Just about. He's been a Friday night guy, and his record's not indicative how he's pitched. Hits to walks and strikeouts to the walks are pretty much tell you who he is. He's very capable. And then Saturday, we've been kind of using the approach where we use 9 or 10 different guys and pretty much a guy an inning. And then Sunday, Nick Tepish has been our guy all year. He pitched real well this past Sunday and been a little up and down, but when he's good, he's very good.
That's unusual, I guess, approaching what you said you do on Saturday. Is that a necessity, or you just kind of got a balanced lineup out there? How's that been working for you?
It's it's kind of an it's who our pitching staff is. We don't have a legitimate number three guy, but we've got 8 or 9 or 10 guys on the bullpen that can throw strikes and are very good for three outs or maybe six outs. But it's worked very well for us because the combination of that's what our staff's strength is, and also the kids have accepted it. It's not, you know, not a bunch of egos out there looking for someone to get the win or, hey, I got to have this number of innings. It's been a real solid approach. I think we're 11-3 when we staff games, and majority of those have been in conference. So we'll continue to do that because that's who we are. And you'd love to have a number three and four guy that can we've had the last few years, but we just don't have that this year.
Well, the last couple of midweek games you've had have been, I guess, a little bit different or off the norm. We had Coach Price on last week, of course, with Nebraska and Kansas playing. You got to play at Kauffman Stadium. And then this week, if I'm reading everything right, the Eastern Illinois game was a wood bat game. Talk about those two contests.
Well, we actually played at Busch Stadium earlier in the year, too, against St. Louis University. What we're trying to do with our midweek games, it's difficult to get teams to come to Columbia geographically. It's just not a great situation. So we've gone to neutral sites in some cases, and really good neutral sites. And also the wooden bat game has been one where we've been doing that for a number of years now, and it's our players love it. It's just it's a neat concept because it gets them motivated and excited about playing a midweek opponent. You know, when you're sandwiched in between Texas Tech and Nebraska and you're playing Eastern Illinois, they put a wooden bat in their hands, and all of a sudden it's a pretty cool game for them. So and all of our guys like swinging the wood, so it's something that we will continue to do and have done for a number of years.
Tim, last question as we let you get out of here. You mentioned your team could be anywhere in this conference race, depending on how you do in the next 2 weeks. How would you, I guess, categorize what you've seen so far in the league this year? Is the parity good enough that there's going to be a lot of teams in the postseason, or is it better when a couple of teams can kind of separate themselves and get into the spot where they could host a super regional type of situation?
I think that there are several teams in the league that are capable of winning a regional. The thing that we've got to do is get those teams to the regionals. And the only thing that's concerning for me at this point is if I look at the RPIs, because that really dictates who hosts and who doesn't, and the strength of this conference, because the strength of the conference will dictate how many teams get in. And we've got teams with good RPIs, but it would be better if we had a couple of teams or three teams in the top 10 in RPI, and we don't have that. But I think we'll get six teams in. We should get a seventh team in. But I think if our teams get there, and that's the key, if they get there, I think they're all capable of winning regionals.
Well, Coach, we always appreciate catching up with you here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Have a safe trip to Lincoln, and hopefully we can play three games of baseball in 3 days and not let the weather mess things up.
That would be nice, wouldn't it? That would be great. Well, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Tim. Tim Jamison joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, head coach of the Missouri Tiger Baseball Program, 6:05 on Friday night, then afternoon contests at 2 Saturday and 1 on Sunday. And let's give you a chance right now to win a family four-pack of tickets to Nebraska-Missouri baseball. And here's what we're going to do. We've got tickets courtesy of Broadfoot Sand and Gravel for all three contests. We are going to let the winner choose whether you want to go Friday, Saturday, or Sunday so you can make a little plan with the family and a little outing this weekend. And we're going to give you a trivia question today because it's a little bit more in demand for Nebraska-Missouri. We should have some beautiful weather, especially on Saturday, it sounds like. If you have not won Nebraska baseball tickets from us in the last 2 weeks, you're eligible. 1-888-455-ESPN. That's 888-455-3776. Zach Greinke, who got another win last night. He's 5-0. He will be on the cover of Sports Illustrated this week. Thanks, guys. 5-0, Zach Greinke on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Who was the last Kansas City Royal to appear on the cover of Sports Illustrated? The last Royal to be featured on the cover of Sports Illustrated before Zach Greinke, and you got to go back a ways. 1-888-455-3776. Your chance to win Nebraska-Missouri baseball tickets. Hastings College football coach Paul Merkowitz joins us when we come back.
Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation with the Doug and Daddy Show, where their motto is,
if you can't be an athlete, be an athletic supporter.
Sam takes pride in lowering his energy bills, regardless of what it takes to lower them.
Excuse me, sweetheart.
I was watching that.
But now, Trane can help fiscally minded people like Sam.
Sam!
Because upgrading your central air system to a high efficiency Trane model can potentially save up to 59% on your energy bills.
Dad. Sorry, son.
Let's power back up, Sam. Then let's find you a Trane dealer.
Upgrade your current central air system with a high efficiency Trane model at Fidelki Heating and Air in Kearney.
It's hard to stop a train.
You know how to drive, but do you know how to tell if your vehicle and passengers are properly insured? Farmers Union insurance agent Tad Adeel knows. He can review your existing coverage and help you determine if it's up to speed with your current driving needs. Why try to figure out by yourself if your coverage is adequate? Visit with Tad before your next renewal. Tad Adeel and Farmers Union Insurance. We're helping to build stronger communities one satisfied client at a time. These are times of great opportunity. Cimarron Plaza in Hastings and the Hastings Area Chamber of Commerce invite you to a new business expo and franchise fair Friday at the Hastings Holiday Inn Express. This open house event will bring together franchisers and potential business owners in and around the Hastings area. You'll receive franchise information and have a chance to discuss and find aid in financing, legal questions, and business insurance. Friday, May 1st, 11 to 6, Holiday Inn Express, just south of Walmart on Highway 281. The new business expo and franchise fair. There are too many reasons that you want your RV vacation to go right than to have one little thing make it go wrong. Rich & Sons RV Headquarters already knows what needs to be done, and they've packaged it together for you. Click on their website, richsonsrv.com, for service plans ranging from appliance checks to generator service, wheel bearings, leak tests, and inspections. When you schedule, tell them you're an ESPN listener and get 10 more bucks off any of the listed packages. Log on to richsonsrv.com. Big Red Football for three nights next week. Come see Sean Callahan of Huskers Illustrated live at Ball Sports Bar Tuesday from 7 until 9. Wednesday at Bullseyes in Hastings from 4 to 6. Thursday in Kearney at Fanatics from 7 until 9. Balls, Bullseyes, and Fanatics. That about says it all. Complete details at ESPNSuperstation.com. If getting up to an estimated 80 miles per gallon isn't enough, then Motorsports Sales and Service is throwing in free gas, too. Hyosung USA Motorcycles has a line of cycles from sport bikes to cruisers from 250 to 650 cc's, suited to everyone from beginner to experienced rider. Plus, a two-year warranty, free one-year checkup, and here's the free stuff, free gas for 1,000 miles. See the entire line of Hyosung USA Motorcycles now at Motorsports Sales and Service, just west of 281 on Highway 30, Grand Island.
We'll see showers and scattered storms affect the area early on today. Then some partial clearing develops later in the day with a high of 67. Winds out of the northwest will also turn gusty at 10 to 25 miles per hour. Tonight, more clouds fill into the area with a good chance for showers back into the region with a low of 40. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 54.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Congratulations to Derek from Grand Island. He knew that the last Royal before Zach Greinke to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated, Bo Jackson. Bo Jackson, the last Kansas City Royal to be featured on the cover of Sports Illustrated, so he's headed to some Nebraska baseball. We're going to give you a chance to win tickets to Nebraska-Missouri baseball this weekend as well, so keep listening here on ESPN Radio. Tickets are brought to you courtesy of Broadfoot Sand and Gravel, who are sponsoring the Kearney American Legion Baseball Fundraiser, and their annual barbecue is tomorrow night, Friday night, from 6 to 9 at the Broadfoot Sand and Gravel Shop, located just south of the First Tier Events Center on the interstate in Kearney. This event will feature a live auction, silent auction. There's adult games and raffles. And, of course, the Legion baseball players will be present and supervising a kids' game zone, which will give children numerous opportunities to test and improve their baseball or softball skills. All the proceeds from this event will be used to fund the Kearney American Legion juniors and seniors for the 2009 season. Again, that's tomorrow night, Friday, at the Broadfoot Sand and Gravel Shop, located just south of the First Tier Events Center, from 6 until 9 o'clock. Well, coming up on the program, the announcement going on right now of who's going into this year's College Football Hall of Fame. We'll update you on that coming up at the bottom of the hour. Also, we're going to talk to Chris Katulak of the TVG Network. We had Jeff Apel on yesterday. He made his Kentucky Derby picks. We'll see who Chris likes in the Kentucky Derby, 135th running, coming up this weekend. But right now, spring football wrapped up last week for the Hastings College football team. It's our pleasure to once again join up and catch up with the head football coach at Hastings College, Paul Merkowitz. Coach, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, glad to have you on. And I guess the obvious question is, how'd spring practice go for you?
You know, I think it was really productive for us. I was really happy with a lot of the things we did. You don't ever really get a concrete answer on questions because obviously we've got 30 more practices before we play, you know, later in August. But we were able to identify some things that we felt we needed to work on, and I thought we were able to get that done.
What were some of the things, and I guess we talked about at the beginning of spring practice, that you wanted to address? What did you feel most comfortable that you moved along, some area that you moved along as well as you'd hoped?
Well, the first thing we wanted to do is just make sure that we could reconfirm that our defense was going to be pretty good. We return a lot of players on that side of the ball. Those guys have done a great job of working themselves into a very, very solid unit across the board. I think we've got pretty good depth at a lot of positions. I like, obviously, the starters we have there as well. But, those guys did a very nice job. We also got a chance to look at some young players there. So that was good. I thought we also looked hard at our kicking game. You know, we're bringing a new punter and a new kicker, and we've really upgraded that position. So I was really happy with that as well.
Paul Merkowitz, Hastings College head football coach, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, we've talked about Mackenzie Hemgee and Nick and some of the players that are going to be coming back. Maurice Mansfield at a wide receiver. One of the spots that isn't all that glorified right up there on the line is that of a nose tackle. You've got a good kid coming back there.
Yeah, I tell you, Pete Botkin is a heck of a player for us. He's really worked himself into a very solid college football player, and he's a guy that we count on to anchor the center of that line for us, and that's probably in the defensive line is where we have the most depth, which is where you really always want to start. And so he's a guy that we look to have a big season.
Now, when you're pretty comfortable with what you've got defensively and putting them through the motions, you talk about depth. When a kid comes in and knows that you're pretty solid there and maybe is the backup, what are the key things that you want to get done with him?
Well, I think, it gives those guys a chance to learn without having a lot of pressure. Each guy wants to be the guy, but when you've got a guy that you're playing behind that you can try to emulate and do the things that they do and do it to that same level, I think that really helps. And so when you have good, solid starters that set your tempo, your younger guys can then learn from them, because that, as coaches, is the hardest thing for us to teach is tempo. You know, if a guy's going hard and you're going in for him, you want to be like that guy, then you go pretty hard, and that's something that's really helped us.
Paul Merkowitz is joining us here. Again, we've talked about the rules and the regulations that you have. How much of a or how close to a scrimmage could you have in practice this spring?
We didn't at all. We stopped doing that a couple of years ago. We got a couple of guys banged up, and with us just being in helmets and shoulder pads, our guys do a pretty good job of understanding the tempo that we have to be at to get better. Obviously, I would love to go in full gear. We don't get an opportunity to tackle at all, so it's something that we don't get a chance to work on, not only tackling but being tackled as well, and that type of stuff. And so that makes things tough, but our guys do a pretty good job of getting things done, and we practice at a pretty good speed and a pretty good tempo.
Paul Merkowitz is talking with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Always, you mentioned injuries. How'd you get through the spring?
Pretty well. I mean, again, it was, some bumps and bruises. You brought up Mackenzie Hemgee. Mackenzie didn't do that much. He was able to do some things but stayed out of a lot of the physical stuff. And, a couple guys we pulled out a couple of days. But all in all, our guys have done a great job in the weight room in preparation, and they came in pretty good shape. So, when you come off the season that we had, we're pretty hungry, but I think the guys get a chance to know that, hey, we got a chance to be pretty good if we do the things we need to do.
Who are a couple of the faces that might step into important roles that hadn't had any major roles the last year or two?
Well, it's probably going to come in the offensive line a little bit. Spencer Jashani's a young man we brought in last year and played him at tackle, but, it was his first year in our program as a transfer. He's a guy who's really become a team leader for us. Tom Van Hout is another offensive lineman, true freshman, played quite a bit this last year, going to be able to do that as well. Guy you'll hear, I think, in the fall, his name is Blake Horstman. He's a tight end for us. Blake's done a very nice job. We're trying to replace the first-team all-conference player, Mark Schmeckley, at that position. So that's something that, some of the names that you'll hear. I think we're probably out at wide receiver as solid as we've been in a very long time. For the longest time it was Maurice, and then you had a long drop-off with everybody else where, Justin Anderson, Travis Brown, Mike Dubois, Mike Novicki, we're six deep at wide receiver, and we're able to put a lot of guys on the field.
Paul, remind the folks of how you hope your backfield's going to look when the fall rolls in.
Well, Nick is a guy that's got experience for us. We've talked about it. We've got some young guys coming in, but we also have three players in here that went through the spring: Grant Robinson out of Kennesaw, Chris Chris Crowell, and then a young man by the name of Corey Washington. So, you know, it's going to be a running back by committee thing. I think it's been like that the last few years. I think the last guy to carry it 30-plus times a game and be able to come back the next Saturday was Eric Moody, and Eric was a special player for us. But, you know, we do it a lot of different ways, and so I think you're going to see some different faces back there.
Coach, a little bit off the beaten path here. I see one of the big stories that maybe not everybody's been made aware of is the University of Sioux Falls has applied to be a Division II school. How will that impact the GPAC and specifically, obviously, this football conference?
You know, I don't know. You know, it's a great question. You know, they've done a lot of very good things, you know, in our league, and I don't know all the ins and outs of it. I know it's been talked about on a lot of different years, but now I think this is the first time they've actually made application. So I don't even know how long the process takes if they were to get accepted, but I know that all I know is we're going up there this year, and I believe it's our fifth game of the year again, and that's really all I know about that situation.
Any new kids since last time we talked about that you can bring up that are going to be coming into the program?
No, not really. I mean, we're getting ready here to – we've got about 40 guys committed right now, and, you know, those guys are going to come in and compete and do the things they can do to try to get on the field, but that's about where we're at. We'll probably wrap up with maybe about another 10 more before the recruiting season's out and we get ready in August.
And, Paul, we always talk about solidifying and having consistency in a coaching staff. You have to be pretty pleased with where you're at there, too.
Yeah. I mean, especially with our defensive staff, these guys have been together now going on 4 years, taking a whole group through, you know, from the recruiting process to graduation. I know that's exciting. I think our guys on the defensive side of the ball like that. Having Coach Head, our offensive coordinator, offensive line, been here a couple of seasons now. So that's something that I think really helps. You know, you always want continuity with players, but when you can get that with coaches too, I think it's just a bonus.
Well, Coach, we always appreciate the time. Glad that you had a good spring workout, and we look forward to catching up with you again, if not this summer, by the time we get ready to go to fall ball.
Great.
All right, Coach, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Stay healthy, and thanks for joining us again here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Paul Merkowitz, head football coach at Hastings College. Glad you're along with us. You know, there was so much on the program yesterday and so much today. We just haven't had a time really to step away from our interviews that we've got for you. And coming up, Chris Katulak, TVG Network. Tomorrow, Steve Anderson, Fauner Park, among our guests. Cincinnati on Tuesday released former Kearney High and Nebraska punter Kyle Larson. And again, if you're reading between the lines, this is kind of a double-fold thing, that kicking game. And when we talk to Kyle of the past, they know how this is. If you're not an all-pro, there's a good chance that when it's time for you to be with the team long enough to make a significant amount of money, if they think they can find somebody of about the same caliber, that's what they're going to do. And I think that's the situation here with Cincinnati. They got the hometown boy, Kevin Huber, grew up in Cincinnati, went to Cincinnati University, and was an All-American last season. So he's sitting there in the fifth round. You won't have to pay him probably near what Kyle was getting, which wasn't the biggest check in NFL history or anything like that. But Larson, it sounds like maybe going to get a chance to catch on with somebody else. We'll just have to wait and see. And, of course, when minicamp starts, some of those bonuses start to kick in. We're not sure what all Kyle had in his contract. But hopefully Larson, who had been with the Bengals for 5 years, even scored a touchdown once on a fake field goal, hopefully he'll get a chance to latch on yet again in the National Football League. And we'll keep you abreast of that. Hastings College Baseball currently airing on our sister station, 1230 a.m. at KHAS, as they take on Morningside. UNK baseball team, an 8-3 win last night over Doan. They will be hosting Regis Friday and Saturday in doubleheaders, weather permitting, as they wrap up the regular season. Softball gets underway. Hastings College and Doan up in Sioux City this afternoon, scheduled to start at 2. UNK plays at 13th-ranked Metro State in Denver this afternoon at 1:30. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and when we come back, it's a little more Kentucky Derby preview. Chris Katulak of the TVG Network next.
Hey, this is Larry the Cable Guy, and you listen to my buddies Doug and Daddy on ESPN Superstation.
Guys, it doesn't take a genius to figure out the best defensive player in a league, but the best fuel system cleaner to max your miles per gallon? Lots of guys pick Lucas Fuel Treatment, but the Gum Out Regain Complete Fuel System Cleaner has 10 times the detergent, cleans twice as many parts of your fuel system, and remains effective up to 10 tankfuls. Yeah, talk about your defensive player of the year. So now you're an MP genius. Gum Out Regain Complete Fuel System Cleaner. Buy it, try it. The better way to maximize your MPG.
Salon Paws Pain Relief Patch presents the Ow My Aching Back Patch, the Just One More Time Patch. Salon Paws gives you the pain relieving power of a pill in a patch. It's ultra thin, ultra flexible. And Salon Paws is the only FDA approved over the counter topical pain relief patch. It goes right to the site of your pain. It's the Keeping Up with Johnny patch and the Boy Do I Feel Better patch. Get the power of a pill in a patch. Also try Salon Paws Arthritis Pain, available at major drugstores and local pharmacies.
It's that time of year again to dust off your clubs and get ready for this year's golf season. But what if that dust just won't come off? Lucky for you, Golf USA in Kearney is having their annual demo day on May 2nd at Meadowlark Hills Golf Course. Try new models from all your favorite brands, including Titleist, Nike, Cleveland, Ping, Callaway, TaylorMade, Cobra, Tour Edge, and Adams. Lower your handicap by attending this year's demo day at Meadowlark Hills, presented by Golf USA in Kearney on May 2nd. This weather update is brought to you by Rich Peters and Matt Myers from Farm Bureau Insurance, located on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Need health coverage? Now you can get the best of both. Personal service from your local Farm Bureau agent and a health plan from a company you know and trust, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska. Call today and find out about the great rates and great coverage available through your Farm Bureau agent. Among the many benefits, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska members enjoy fast and accurate processing of their claims. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers are proud to serve the Kearney area. Call them today at 234-4922. That's 308-234-4922 to learn more about affordable health plans for you, your family, or your business. Farm Bureau agents are independent and authorized insurance producers of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska. An independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association.
We'll see showers and scattered storms affect the area early on today. Then some partial clearing develops later in the day with a high of 67. Winds out of the northwest will also turn gusty at 10 to 25 miles per hour. Tonight, more clouds fill into the area with a good chance for showers back into the region with a low of 40. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 54.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Oh, people. In football, we told you about Kyle Larson. Well, the New England Patriots have released linebacker Bo Rood. He was on the injured reserve list all of last year after injuring his ankle in training camp, a sixth-round selection last year by the Patriots. Also, baseball time, people. The Kansas City Royals get an 11-3 victory last night over the fine folks from Toronto, and the fourth game of that series comes up this afternoon at 1:10.
It's peanut butter jelly time, peanut butter jelly time.
Oh, yeah. Billy Butler, two home runs. The Royals had 11 extra base hits in their 15-hit barrage last night, and Zach Greinke, the first pitcher in the majors to get to five wins. Of course, now 5-0 on the season. He did give up an earned run for the first time in 43 innings, and that raised his ERA from 0.00 from the Blutarski to more of the daddy ERA, 0.50. One of five pitchers in Major League history to start 5-0 and have an ERA of less than one. Outstanding. Jabba Chamberlain got his first win of the season, the former Husker. Chamberlain had a good outing against Detroit last night. Detroit scored some runs late when Chamberlain was out of the ball game, and the Yankees won it 8-6, but Chamberlain gets his first win of the season. And I don't know what to tell you right now, Derek. We haven't played the Cubs for a long, long time, so the Cubs are struggling, and I haven't heard all the folks calling in and all the emails of the 162-0 run, but not only are the Cubs struggling, they are stinking up the joint. The pitching staff is getting crushed. Now, Zambrano had a good outing night before last, but they got killed again yesterday, and the Cubs need to get back home, I guess.
Yeah, what do you got? I mean, what can you say about them? The cursed Cubs, I guess. And when we talked with our friend Mike Perennio from the Mandalay Bay, he said, "What's the big pick before the season starts? Everybody likes to put money on the Cubs. Guess what? Vegas is going to make some money this year.
Right, they make money for 101 straight years. with the Chicago Cubs. You know why they never have a horse in any of horse racing or the Kentucky Derby that has Cubs in it? Well, because they want a winner. And there's a full field of 20 going to the post again this Saturday. You'll hear it live right here on ESPN Radio. And when it comes to horse racing, we always catch up with our main man, Chris Katulak from the TVG Network. And he joins us again this morning here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Chris, good morning.
Hey, Doug, Daddy, and boy, I work with a guy who is a rabid Cub fan, and every day it's as if the season begins and ends with him each day. So I get a dose of that weekly or daily here at TVG in Los Angeles.
You know, I think one thing, I don't know about your buddy, but most of the Cub fans I know aren't married, and I'm guessing that's probably a big reason why.
Yeah, well, he is married, but I don't know how his wife can handle him with all of the sports geek nature that he has. And I'll tell you this very quickly. We can get to the horses in just a second. I was a rabid Cub fan for 3 or 4 years until they made it to the playoffs, and that ball went dribbling between Leon Durham's legs at first base, a la Bill Buckner, for the Red Sox. And I just kind of threw my hands up in the air. I said, "That's it. I'm finished with the Cubs."
Well, Chris, why wouldn't you? 101 years, it's brutal.
Hey, I was like that in the Orange Bowl when Turner Gill threw that ball for the extra point conversion, and the ball was still tumbling in the end zone on that pathetic attempt to convert. I threw my hands up. I said, "That's it. I'm no longer a Husker fan."
Boy, you're not endearing yourself to a lot of Nebraskans today, my friend.
Now, I will say this. I don't root against the Huskers. I never have. I just stopped being that crazed fan. Well, everybody know what that's like.
Well, Chris, let's get into horse racing. Jeff,
okay.
Jeff Apel, who I'm pretty sure you know, Jeff, and now
speaking
working
of crazed fans.
Well, there you go. Working at the Thoroughbred Times. We chatted with him yesterday right after the post positions were drawn. And I want to start with the end of our conversation because I asked him about the Bosselman here. And he made what I thought was a pretty interesting comment. The Bosselman, which ran last Saturday, is considered, at least the trainer that won the race, said it's the biggest horse race in Nebraska. Yet only 8 horses entered, 2 scratched. They had a field of 6. And we've been trying on the Doug and Daddy Show to figure out what as fans and what we can do to make the race bigger and better and get that full field of what we would say is 10, at least at Fawner. He said across the board, horse racing, he says they even had to cancel some cards because there's not enough entries at some tracks across the country. I was wondering what your thoughts were on that.
Well, it's kind of a two-part question. Yes, today they actually had to cancel the card at Hollywood Park. That's kind of a parochial thing. There's some kind of fighting going on with horsemen and they just had a whole meet at Santa Anita. Now all of a sudden they can't fill races at Hollywood Park. It's as if there's some sort of a major difference between Santa Anita and Hollywood Park, of which there is not. So that's rather frustrating. Some folks like to wait for Del Mar, but Del Mar, heck, that's not until mid-July. So maybe some people are giving their horses some breaks. That was unfortunate. As far as the boss cap, as I like to call it, the Boston Best Punter Handicap, I think this is just my knee-jerk quick response to your question. I think $75,000 is maybe not the lure. I think $100,000 was much more significant. It's probably a $50,000 race. Now, I'm not making any friends that way, but given the field that they had this year, I'm sure it's nowhere near the best field that they've ever come up with. And I have to think that horsemen are just thinking, it's $75,000. You know, are we going to make this trip to Fawner Park or not? Now, believe me, there are savvy horsemen that realize, look, that's good money for a particular horse they may have, and let's go ahead and get a run for it. So I feel the race needs to be back to $100,000 for it to have its luster. Now, does what's going on in the Nebraska horse racing industry, i.e. Fawner Park, qualify that? That's a different story. You know, I don't know what sort of numbers they're putting up if they can justify a $100,000 race.
Well, Jeff was right on with that $100,000 number. I mean, he had the same comment yesterday. And
okay.
as we said here on the show, if you keep selling it out like it was on Saturday, that's going to help things out. So let's move on to the Kentucky Derby, a field of 20. But again, it seems like with some of the scratches, 3-4 significant horses not able to make it into the draw yesterday, that also has left the quality of the Derby field maybe a little down. Your thoughts?
I think the race was really setting up to be one that was pretty special, one of the best ones we've seen in recent years. I'm never going to say one of the best ones we've seen of all time, but I would just have to say one of the more compelling races as far as live bona fide horses, and a couple of those horses being scratched, Quality Road, Square Eddie, were horses not making it, I think had an impact on whether this year's field was going to be something special. I think from being an extraordinary race, it's just an ordinary Kentucky Derby in my estimation, but it's still the Kentucky Derby, and that means there's a lot of attention, and there are some extremely nice three-year-olds in the race. So that's my response to that. As far as a top pick in the race, I've been kind of vacillating between Frisian Fire and Hold Me Back. Frisian Fire swept the series at the fairgrounds, the LeCompte, the Risen Star, and the Louisiana Derby, and the way he did it was just oh so impressive. He's got a fantastic pedigree, a son of AP Indy in the bottom side. He's got some Australian breeding in there, but that dam has produced a number of multiple stakes winners and at long distances, you know, like a mile and a quarter. And I like the way the horse has trained since the fairgrounds race. Trainer Larry Jones knows how to get him ready, and he just seems like a real professional. But the same can be said, in my estimation, of the five-horse Hold Me Back, who's 15-1 in the morning line. And, guys, I almost made him my top pick. The reason I'm holding back is you get now it's a new consideration for not just the Derby but any race. These horses making the transition from artificial surface, whether it be Tapita or Polytrack or Cushion Track or Pro Rider, you name it, back over to what is the conventional main at Churchill Downs. So there's a little concern for me there, although many of these horses are training back and forth over each surfaces. So that's kind of my top two, just to kind of scratch the surface and get started.
Well, let's go a little bit deeper then, as you avoided the three horses that were the morning line favorites in I Want Revenge, Dunkirk, and Pioneer of the Nile. Out of those three, do you got a favorite?
Out of those three, the 13 horse, I Want Revenge, would be my third pick. I'm going to come with top five horses that a person can dabble around with and maybe make an exacta box or a tri box or super factor, do something. So I Want Revenge, what's not to like about him? He has been really cool the way he has won. He's gone to the East Coast, and of course he had that really troubled trip in the Wood Memorial that everyone spoke of, and yet he still got the job done, and what's, you know, he looked like a hero in that effort there. But as far as Dunkirk and Pioneer of the Nile, of the top horses that are being spoken about, I do not like Pioneer of the Nile. I will just say that I feel that he has just been, he had to dig down way too deep in some of his races to get the win, in my estimation, and I'm just very chilly on him. Dunkirk, on the other hand, he has the formula, as far as what I look for in the Derby winner, at least what I've stuck with for a number of years, and that's to win early, to win as a favorite, to go quickly from the maiden ranks to the allowance ranks to the graded stakes racing, to graded stakes racing. He's done it all in three races. Maybe that's a knock against him, that it's only three races. You know, he's lightly raced on experience, but he comes with good connections. And then for another price horse, believe it or not, I'm going to go with no doubt the story of the Derby is General Quarters. You know, that if that doesn't tug at your heart, what can? The old trainer Tom McCarthy, the one-horse trainer, this is the only horse he's had. And I sure like the way he won the Bluegrass Stakes, and it looks like he's trained well at Churchill also. So that's my top five. General Quarters is 20-1 in the morning line. Do I think he can win the race? No. Do I think he can finish second, third, or fourth for a nice exotic? You betcha.
We've got Chris Katulak with us for another couple of moments here on the Doug and Daddy Show talking about the Kentucky Derby. A horse that some folks are talking about around here, and I want to get your thoughts on this, is the 7 Papa Clem. Any thoughts on that horse?
is that good enough right there?
I can tell you're a scratcher a little bit there. Now, speaking with Jeff yesterday, he said he had a couple people in the office that brought that horse's name up. Now, I think there's a lot of allegiances to where you're from or just the name of a horse or your jockey or things like that. And I guess when you take a look at, you know, Baffert or some of the guys that train the horses, or you take a look at a Kent DeSormo riding a horse, things like that. Do we have a jockey trainer combination that's better than anybody else in this 20 horse field?
Well, you said three things that for me are things that I don't use to pick a Derby horse or any other horse, and that is where they're from, a name of the horse, or a jockey. It is horse racing. The horse is finished in front of the jockey in the race.
And when you're talking Kentucky Derby, they're all top-flight jockeys, so that's not a concern of mine whatsoever. And as far as Papa Clem goes, I think he's probably just a cut below. This is a horse that we might see show up in some of the lesser derbies the rest of the year, you know, races with Derby in their name but not the Kentucky Derby, or races that are preps for the Derby. You know, and to answer your question more completely, then I think you would probably have to say Dunkirk for Todd Pletcher, because – one of these days he's going to win a Kentucky Derby, and this is kind of the now horse with Dunkirk, at least the horse that everybody is talking about. The horse that finished second, however, at the Quality Road.
And Chris, real quick last question here for you. It seems like I Want Revenge is one of those horses, if and I haven't seen the form, I guess, quite yet, but just in talking and reading some things, this is a horse that's going to want to come from off the pace. When you get a 20-horse field, are you looking more for horses that don't want to get out front because it's a 20-horse field, and if you're a horse that comes from behind, it really doesn't, it's not as important where you break from the gate?
I will say this. As far as the Kentucky Derby goes, at a mile and a quarter, usually I like a horse that can get some momentum and come running at the end, whether it be in a size of 12 horses or 20 horses. Half the field at the top of the stretch is going to look like they just got hit on the head by the quarter pole, because they're going to be tired, because we're separating the wheat from the chaff. First of all, some of these horses don't even belong. The others, you know, none of these horses have gone a mile and a quarter, so their tongues are going to be hanging out tired. And then there's going to be a handful of horses that I think are really going to step clear and really emphasize how special they are. And mile and a quarter will not be that much of an issue. As far as the field size, that's, you know, you take some crafty riding, I feel, from the when they enter into the far turn to when they come to the top of the stretch. That's where I feel a race is going to be won or lost, is where you are in that far turn, from entering the far turn to coming out of the far turn. I don't know if that answered your question.
Well, it I guess it validates a little bit of what I'm thinking, so that's just as good.
Hey. I know we're getting ready to wind down. I want to say I love Nebraska horse racing, whether it be at Fauner Park or Attica or Horseman's Park, and I'll do anything I can to support the Bosselman, Gus Fauner, or whatever the case may be. And I still am a Husker fan somewhere deep down, and I do cheer for the Cubs also.
Well, Chris, we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks as the Triple Crown continues on. Continued great work there at the TVG Network, and we always appreciate your time here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Let me say something really quickly. You know, our network TVG does not cover Churchill Downs. We haven't for the last few years. But I hear a rumbling that we may actually be showing the Churchill Downs races. Now, of course, Churchill and the other and our competition always relinquish to ABC or ESPN. That'll be the case. But I get this feeling we are going to be covering a lot of the races leading right up to the Derby. So that's kind of some news for TVG fans. So stay tuned with that.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome. Yeah. We will be watching and we will be listening. And, Chris, again, thanks so much for the time.
Thanks, guys. Call anytime.
Take care. From the TVG Network, Chris Katulak joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. So talking Kentucky Derby with the TVG Network and Chris Katulak. Also, we were talking with Missouri baseball coach Tim Jamison on the program today. Paul Merkowitz has joined us to talk a little Hastings College football and to put the cherry on top of today's Doug and Daddy Show. It's Thursday, and that means FantasyPlayersEdge.com. Joe DiMeo joins us again this morning. Joe, hey, how's things going?
Doug, how you doing? I've never been the cherry on top of anything, so it feels good.
Well, Joe, let's start there. Who is the cherry on top of this last week of Major League Baseball that we're looking at?
Well, there's a couple of them right now, if you want to use that vernacular, that I think we could talk about. Let's digress just for a moment. Let's chat about we're in the midpoint of the fourth week of the season. Typically, Doug Daddy, this is the time where you need to evaluate your roster, look for some sell-high candidates that you own and some buy-low candidates that maybe someone in your league is sitting on. Adam Dunn comes to mind immediately. Dunn is batting .324. Sell him high. He's a lifetime .248 hitter. Lifetime .248 hitters don't just go from .248 to .325. So what that implies is if Dunn's hitting .324 now over the first month of the season, to get to .248, you're going to have to bat .180 for a similar four-week span somewhere during the course of the year. You don't want to ride Dunn all the way down. You can get maximum out of him right now. People, for some reason, are really evaluating his skill sets high. Pitches will catch up to Adam Dunn, and Adam Dunn will revert back to the mean. Felipe Lopez is another one. Batting 309, lifetime 263. Same analysis. He's going to hit somewhere in the low twos, high ones for a period of time to bring his average back to what will resemble the norm. Brandon Inge is another one playing way over his head right now, but because he's C eligible, unless you have a better C, you need to retain Inge. If you have a decent catcher, you have Inge on your roster, go chase some manager out there who's hurting for a catcher and use Inge to upgrade where you probably have him, which is at third base. On the buy low candidates, real quickly, Alexi Ramirez, he's batting 214 right now. My guess with Ramirez, because there's not enough body work, Doug or Daddy, for me to get a handle on him, is that he's a warm weather player. He is Cuban. Consequently, he's used to playing in extreme heat, playing up in Chicago. The weather's been inclement. Maybe Ramirez just got off to a slow start because he just couldn't get comfortable with the elements. Anyway, I say you pick him up now. He just stole his fifth base. He's a good source of runs and power, and I think when the warm weather comes, Alexi Ramirez will step up. B.J. Upton, batting 158. I guarantee you owners are really disgruntled with him right now. Reach out to the second round. Reach out. He's a second-round draft pick. And see if you can engineer a trade from someone that maybe you picked up in the fifth or sixth round and grab Upton. He's likely to hit 15 to 22 home runs and steal 40 to 45 bases. Last but not least, Lance Berkman. He's batting 162 right now. He batted 173 in September of 2008. In his last 2 months of Major League Baseball, September and April, he's 25 for 149, a robust 166. He's a lifetime 300 hitter. You've got to go with the percentages here. You might be able to steal Berkman, as the guys who had him last year and this year know that he's had a terrible two-month run. You might be able to steal Berkman for absolutely peanuts. You might be able to offer a value meal and get Lance Berkman, and you'll be pleasantly surprised when this professional hitter starts to get his groove on.
Joe DiMaio from Fantasy Players Edge joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show to talk a little fantasy baseball. Every week there are, I guess, what you would call preferred matchups. Maybe some teams that are starting to get hot and they're playing at home against lesser competition, and maybe you can fill in. As you look at those matchups, maybe not even necessarily a particular player, but what team has an advantage coming up here in the next week if you're looking to just pick somebody off a team that might help you out?
Well, here's an interesting element about the week that's coming up. And it doesn't happen too often in Major League Baseball. Every team, all 30 Major League teams, will play 7 games next week. So there'll be no travel days. That's a good thing for owners to know because you don't have to carry any extra offensive players. You don't need them. You're only going to play 9, play your best 9, use your extra offensive players maybe to pick up some additional pitching and get an advantage on your opponent. That's a really known fact like that is very, very useful, especially if you have 11 or 12 offensive players sitting on, three extras on your bench. You don't need that. Go ahead and wave 2 of them. Keep the best one. Pick up 2 more pitchers, maybe another closer. Get a distinct advantage on your opponent who doesn't realize that every offensive player will be active from Monday to Sunday next week. Now, to add some specificity, Doug Daddy, to your question, tomorrow, here's a couple of pitchers that you can use that have great matchups. Kevin Slowey handles the Royals, and he's a better pitcher at the Metrodome where the game is. He's 3-0 lifetime against the Royals, 216 with a 1.04 whip with 14 Ks and 25 frames versus the Royals. So he's very, very useful. Ubaldo Jimenez has been miserable. He's been absolutely horrific. Look for him to bounce back tomorrow at AT&T Park against the Giants. He's 1-1 lifetime against them with a 2.37 ERA, 1.05 whip, over 30 innings, and the best part is he's 1-0 at AT&T Park. The game is in San Francisco with a 1.15 whip with 8 Ks and 11 frames. So those two guys there may be available, and Jimenez is going to surprise people because he's been awful. If you need a quick spot play tomorrow for one of your hitters, if you have Hamilton because he's not going to play tomorrow, maybe you grab Rob Quinlan for the Angels. He pounds Andy Pettit 5-for-12 with an extra base hit, 2 RBIs. Or grab Eric Kinski from the Pirates. He truly annoys Bronson Arroyo of the Reds. He's 11-for-23 with 5 extras and a jack. So those are some guys that you can use to fill in or gain an advantage, get the edge, win your league. That's what we do here.
Joe, hey, I got 1 minute left here before we got to wrap up this segment, but I want to ask you, because there's some rumors, I don't think it's going to happen, but if you've got a job at Chamberlain, if you've got a starter they're thinking about putting in the bullpen or a kid out of the bullpen they're thinking about starting, how do you handle that?
Well, Jonathan Chamberlain just came off a brilliant 88-pitch, 7-inning, one-run performance against the Tigers, and he proved that he belongs at the top of the rotation. Now, all the rhetoric is surrounding Philip Hughes, because Philip Hughes was brilliant in his first start. Let me remind everybody out there that Philip Hughes has been essentially a bust. But his first start in the majors a couple of years ago, he was pitching a no-hitter when he pulled a hamstring in the seventh inning. So how do you read this guy? You read this guy by not overreacting to his performance. No hitter, bust. Brilliant start. He comes back in Yankee Stadium this week. Is he usable? Yeah. Is he a risk? Yeah. He hasn't demonstrated he can get big league pitchers out. Chin-Ming Wong has an ERA of 34.5. So it remains to be seen. I personally don't think that the Yankees would even consider moving Chamberlain back into the bullpen. And he proved that yesterday with a brilliant performance. 88 pitches from a power pitcher over 7 innings. The youngster looks like he has a future as the top of the rotation, guys. Ed Al, Josh Beckett are one of those guys.
Well, we hope so. We sure hope so, even for us Yankee haters here. But, hey, Joe, again, folks, remind you, go to fantasyplayersedge.com. All the information you need to keep your league going and get you towards the top of the league. Joe joins us every Thursday. And, Joe, we'll see you again next week.
Doug, Daddy, take very good care and make sure you make the right moves in fantasy baseball because you want to win. Take good care, guys.
Take care. All right, Joe DiMaio from FantasyPlayersEdge.com. We are up against a break. We'll wrap up the program and give you some news about a Nebraska Cornhusker going to the College Football Hall of Fame right after this.
This is the ESPN Superstation's Doug and Daddy Show.
Live and unrehearsed. Unrehearsed.
You son of my own!
Unrehearsed.
Unfortunately.
It's that time of year again, when the guys who do the real work in this country get back to it. Yep, you can smell it in the air. The deep, rich, premium leather aroma of genuine Red Wing shoes. So come in for a tune-up, pick up some new insoles or accessories, or step up to a new hard-working pair. Red Wing shoes, built to fit, built to last, since 1905.
Red Wing has shovel-ready boots for your job. Find a store near you at redwingshoes.com.
So, this year, your house is the official place to watch the Kentucky Derby. Your couch, the official seat of the Kentucky Derby. And your wife's bean dip is the official food of the Kentucky Derby. But if you really want to get in on the action, the official online site of the Kentucky Derby is TwinSpires.com. Picking your favorite horse on TwinSpires.com is fun and easy. And you can join for free and play from home online or by phone. Officially, there's no better place to experience all the excitement of this year's 135th running of the Kentucky Derby than TwinSpires.com, where players win. See site for details.
NCS Equipment Rental invites you to a grand opening celebration April 30th and May 1st from 8 to 5. Come see their new facility at 406 East J Street in Hastings. NCS is holding free OSHA-mandated forklift, aerial lift, and personal fall protection training both days. Don't miss this great opportunity to see equipment demonstrations, participate in free training, and register for free merchandise. Call NCS Equipment at 308-472-5077 to pre-register. And as always, NCS has the tools and equipment for all your construction needs.
These are times of great opportunity. Cimarron Plaza in Hastings and the Hastings Area Chamber of Commerce invite you to a new business expo and franchise fair Friday at the Hastings Holiday Inn Express. This open house event will bring together franchisers and potential business owners in and around the Hastings area. You'll receive franchise information and have a chance to discuss and find aid in financing, legal questions, and business insurance. Friday, May 1st, 11 to 6, Holiday Inn Express, just south of Walmart on Highway 281. The new business expo and franchise fair.
Up next, a fresh forecast from the guys at Weather Eye, brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on East 25th in Kearney, where you always get a square deal and a fair shake. If you were out for a Sunday drive with the family 20 years ago in Kearney, there'd be a lot of places that you wouldn't even recognize. Well, excepting for that one place over on East 25th, Molly's Motorworks. Molly's been right there doing what she does best since 1987. A lot has changed since then, so it's a good thing to know that when you're in the market for a quality used car or truck, you can still get a square deal and a fair shake from Molly. Good to know.
We'll see showers and scattered storms affect the area early on today. Then some partial clearing develops later in the day with a high of 67. Winds out of the northwest will also turn gusty at 10 to 25 miles per hour. Tonight, more clouds fill into the area with a good chance for showers back into the region with a low of 40. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 54.
Doug and Daddy Show. Don't forget that you can hear Hastings College Baseball on 1230 AM KHAS. And some breaking news here in the last hour. Former University of Nebraska standout Grant Wistrom is headed to the College Football Hall of Fame. He was one of 18 players and coaches that were selected today. The Webb City, Missouri native holds the school record for tackles for loss with 58.5 for 260 yards, and he ranks second in Nebraska history with 26.5 sacks. He had his jersey retired during the 1998 season. As a senior captain, Wistrom earned Big 12 Player of the Year honors for the second straight season. He had 8.5 sacks and 17 tackles for loss, helping Nebraska rank fifth nationally in total defense. So Wistrom will become the 14th Nebraska player in the College Football Hall of Fame, along with six former Husker coaches. The induction ceremonies will be in New York City. He is the first Nebraska player to join the hall since Mike Rozier, but that was just back in 2006. Induction ceremonies are this December in New York City. So congratulations to Grant Wistrom. He is headed into the College Football Hall of Fame. Well, coming up, we've got Kansas City Royals baseball this afternoon. Our pregame comes your way at the bottom of the hour, and first pitch will be fired up at 1:10 this afternoon. Want to thank all the great guests for joining us on the program today, including Joe DiMeo of FantasyPlayersEdge.com, Chris Katulak of the TVG Network to talk about the Kentucky Derby, which you can hear in its entirety starting at 4 o'clock with the race at 5:20 this Saturday here on ESPN. Also want to thank Missouri head baseball coach Tim Jamison and Hastings College football coach Paul Merkowitz for joining us on the show. If you missed any of today's show or any of our previous shows, simply go to our website at ESPNSuperstation.com. Click on the Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal and The Loft, and enjoy the show again. Coming up tomorrow, among our guests will be Steve Anderson from Fauner Park. It's their final weekend. He'll give us his picks on the Kentucky Derby. We'll talk more about Grant Wistrom going into the Hall of Fame, and Daddy should be back in studio as well. Plus, tomorrow, another chance to win Nebraska baseball tickets. Folks, thanks for joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game on!